Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Don't let the sun catch you crying.
That's Jerry and the Pacemakers bringing us back. Jerry with a G. I'm Jim Blasingame, that's Jim with a J. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Cliff Enico is our guest, our good friend, a longtime brain trust. Remember, that's Cliff with a C. Succeedinginyourbusiness.com, right, Cliff?
Yep, Succeeding in Your Business. Got a YouTube channel, too, now. If you go to
All right. We'll get to see your face.
You guys should get to see my face and my whole
folks,
body.
That's worth the trip right there.
Yeah, I usually wear a lot of purple, too, so it's kind of like watching reruns of Barney a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? You're from that generation.
Yeah, so that's...
YouTube.com and search for Cliff Enico, and you'll see a whole bunch of stuff. I got a bunch of videos up there.
And a new book coming out that we're going to launch in April, right?
That's right, on crowdfunding.
I'm looking forward to that.
A couple times, and, that's going to be on the whole new crowdfunding regs, what kinds of small businesses should be taking advantage of it, that kind of thing. Not for everybody. But there are some companies, I think, that could benefit from it, and that's a show for another
day.
So
we'll look forward to that. So we're talking about some of the legal
selling other people's
binds
stuff,
you can
and
get
Amazon.
Into when you're selling on the online markets, whether it be eBay or whatever.
Or Amazon, whatever. Here's the key. I'm going to try to make it real simple for folks. There are only two ways you can legally sell other people's stuff online. There's only two ways. Way number one is if they give you permission, if you become an authorized reseller for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I always suggest that people who are thinking of doing this call the manufacturer and ask if you can be a reseller. For some smaller manufacturers, especially people that don't have a national or international market for their stuff, they may actually welcome this. They don't have the resources to build an online distribution channel of their own, so you can actually help them build it. You know, lock them into an exclusive deal for a couple of years and help them build their brand on Amazon and eBay.
And this is how you become a legal... upstanding reseller.
Right, that's it. With the as long as the manufacturer gives you permission, you're golden. You can do whatever you want, you know, with their permission, of course. But that's the thing, and especially for, in fact, I actually teach Amazon sellers, look for local manufacturers that aren't selling online and volunteer to be their online distribution channel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people will welcome you with open arms, especially if you have a good reputation for selling online. But the second way is a little trickier, but it is legal. It's something called the first sale doctrine.
Say that again?
The first sale doctrine.
All right.
Trademark law. Basically what that says is that a manufacturer, once the goods are sold once legally in commerce, the manufacturer can no longer sue for trademark infringement. And this was enforced by a very recent Supreme Court case called the Kurtzeng case, where a guy, basically a professor actually at UCLA from Thailand, was going over to Thailand to visit his folks every year, and he would buy tons and tons of medical textbooks over there and then have them shipped to the U.S. and then resold them on eBay here in the U.S. For a much higher price. Now, what he was doing was that retail arbitrage that we were talking about before. Most textbook publishers have what they call foreign editions or overseas editions of their textbooks, and they're exactly word for word the same as the U.S. versions, but they sell for a much lower price. To meet the local market, basically. People in Thailand cannot afford to pay what people in the U.S. can for these things. So he was leveraging that. He was buying them overseas, shipping them, selling them here. The publisher tried to shut him down for trademark infringement, and the Supreme Court said that the first sale doctrine protected him. He was perfectly okay as long as he
purchased he had bought them one time
legally in Thailand. This wasn't some black market operation. Mm-hmm. He was buying them legally, paying full retail price.
And he wasn't claiming the books were his. He was just reselling them.
That's right. He was just reselling them. So if you are doing if you're in that situation, the Kurtzeng case and the first sale doctrine protects you. So for example, if you buy a bunch of those drills that you were talking about, the liquidator. You know, perfectly legally.
Or used ones, or if they're used.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And then you put your barcode on it. I mean, there is nothing that prevents you from doing that. In fact, the Kurtzeng case protects you in that case. But
You didn't try to represent it as the Blasingame drill.
That's exactly
it's Blasingame
right.
selling you a Dremel drill.
That is exactly right. So that's the thing. Don't put your name on, if you put your name on that, though, I think the manufacturer can still come after you. If you try to call it a Cliff Endicott drill.
Yeah, no, you can't. Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do that. And the other thing you got to watch out for when you're doing the first sale doctrine type of sales, resales, is watch out for warranties. Because a lot of manufacturers will say in their fine print that their warranties disappear after the first sale, and after, you know,
the first owner.
Like 30 days after the first
sale.
They
don't extend beyond the first owner.
Right, so by the time you buy it from the liquidator, that warranty is gone. So if you're selling it as 100% original, you know, with manufacturer's warranty, you're lying, you're misrepresenting. You don't know it, but you're misrepresenting. Watch out for that, because what happens is where a lot of these people get caught out is that the buyer, something goes wrong with the drill, they return it to the manufacturer, and the manufacturer realizes that this was sold in this way. And that's how they find out about you. They'll say, mm-hmm. Well, where the heck did you get this thing? Oh, from Cliff Endicott on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And that's when they try to shut you down, when these people try to submit a warranty claim that they can't get. And by the way, that doesn't do you any good either. When the customers start complaining to Amazon and eBay about, hey, you know, this guy's selling drills and the drills are not subject to the warranty, you know, this guy's bogus, you know, that doesn't help you either. So it's tricky. Whenever you're selling somebody else's stuff on eBay and Amazon, it's always very tricky. I always tell people, try to get the manufacturer's permission. Try to become an authorized reseller if you can. Also, too, and be very careful, there's a lot of counterfeit merchandise out there, too. Sometimes what seems to be original drills
came from China.
Correctly. Absolutely. You know, don't assume that generic merchandise that you are authorized to sell online is legal. It may well be a knockoff.
American golf club manufacturers found what they thought were knockoffs.
Yep.
They had to cut them in half to tell the difference.
Right. Yeah.
They literally had to. The knockoffs were so good.
Yeah.
They had to cut them in half to see the insides to tell that they weren't theirs. How about that?
Well, I'll tell you. That's it. I mean, the stuff is very good. And even
These guys are good. SucceedingInYourBusiness.com. That's Cliff's website. Check it out, folks. Quick break, Tintail. We'll be right back.
Turn around and see you in a crowded place. Watch for the emotions on a guarded face.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.